Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Did you bring your Bibles? Turn with me to the book of Mark, chapter 14, and we're going to do our best to expound verses 17 through 31 and allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for your goodness and grace. We thank you for this time of worship. And Lord, we're asking now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. I've entitled this evening's message, A Better Covenant. A Better Covenant. As we've been reading the book of Mark chapter 14, we see that Jesus is about 2 days before he gets abducted, apprehended, and eventually crucified, and he will die for you and I. And so it's a crescendo. It's a moment that's building up. And as we see in these next verses of Scripture, we're going to see some odd things that are said and that are done. And I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, what happened to this one particular disciple? And we're going to read about it. And this one who was with them probably for 3.5 years decided to betray him. Wow. That's like someone you know that's very close to you, and then they betray you. And you're going, wow. And it hurts. Just imagine how it felt to the Lord, having one of the 12 that he raised up betray him. But that's just one little episode in the verses of Scripture we're going to read. But the main theme tonight is that there's going to be a transition from the old covenant to the new covenant. Praise God. See, the old covenant, the only way that you can plead your case before God was a temporal covering, meaning a temporary covering. And they had to bring animals to the altar and be sacrificed. And the high priest would sprinkle the blood on the altar. And those of you who know about the tabernacle in the wilderness and then eventually the tabernacle on Mount Moriah, which we all know where the Temple Mount is. And so that was the old covenant. But one of the things that we have discovered about the old covenant is it's temporal. It's temporary. They had to come back and repeat the process once a year. But Jesus, say that with me, Jesus was the final sacrifice and became the new and better covenant. Can I get an amen? So let's read these verses of Scripture and let's allow the Holy Spirit to take us where he needs to take us tonight. Amen. Verse 17. In the evening he came with the 12. Now as they sat and ate, Jesus said, "Assuredly I say to you, one of you who eats with me will betray me." Wow. He's telling all 12. Matter of fact, I read this, he's putting everyone on notice. In other words, he's putting someone on blast here. Verse 19, and they began to be sorrowful and to say to him one by one, "Is it I?" And another said, "Is it I?" He answered and said to them, "It is the one of the 12 who dips with me in the dish." So Jesus, in his foreknowledge, already saw who would dip right next to him. Wow, isn't that something? There was an enemy sitting right next to him. Think about that for a moment. Verse 21, "The Son of Man indeed goes just as it is written of him. But woe," listen, when you hear Jesus say, "Woe," be careful. You're walking now on a fine line with God. He says, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for that man if he had never been born. He will be tormented forever in hell. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed it, broke it, and gave it to them and said, take, eat, this is my body. Then he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. And he said to them, this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many. Verse 25, surely I say to you, all will no longer drink of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out of the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus said to them, all of you will be made to stumble because of me this night. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. But after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee. Verse 29, Peter said to him, even if all are made to stumble, yet I will not be. Jesus said to him, assuredly I say to you that today, even this night, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times. Verse 31, but he spoke more vehemently. If I have to die with you, I will not deny you. And they all said likewise. Yeah, all right. It's easier said than done, huh? Until the rubber meets the road. Until you're put in a predicament. Are you going to still love the Lord thy God when everything falls apart in your life? That's the question tonight. So let's go back to verse 17. Let's break this down. Amen? In the evening, he came with the 12. Jesus on that evening, it could have been a Wednesday or Thursday, depending on how you look at the day. The Jews count a day when the sun sets. And we Gentiles is when the sun rises. Okay, so the meal was not to be eaten until after sunset and was supposed to be finished by midnight. Okay, so he gathered them. Remember last week, he told Peter and John to go and get what? Get the room that was secure. He had secured the room. So now they're there. Now, verse 18, now as they sat and ate, Jesus said, assuredly, I say to you, one of you who eats with me will betray me. And they began to be sorrowful and to say to him one by one, is it I? And another said, is it I? He answered and said to them, it is one of the 12 who dips with me in the dish. So saints, as Jesus and the disciples were eating, Jesus spoke the stunning words. This must have shocked them all. He said this, one of you will betray me. My goodness. Let me just say this. I don't know the majority of all of your lives, but throughout the course of someone's life, this happens to people. Somewhere down the road, somewhere down the line, someone that's very close will betray you. It could be a wife, it could be a husband, it could be a child, it could be an aunt, an uncle, it could be a coworker, it could be a boss, it could be someone in school, it could be someone that's very close, but then they betray you. And let me tell you, when that takes place, the heart turns and it becomes very, very, the person becomes withdrawn and it crushes their spirit. And they cannot see past the betrayal. And they become crippled in their mind, their heart. They don't function right. I mean, it'll take months, maybe years to get past that betrayal. It's very devastating. I could share with you several instances of my life, but I don't have time for that. But some of you can probably relate to someone betraying you. Well, this was the providence of God that God would use Judas Iscariot to betray the Lord. And it was done for you and I. God already knew. My, my, my. So saints, the betrayer was one of his own chosen 12 out of all the disciples. It was one of the 12, one of whom the meal was being shared. Jesus' words caused quite a stir among the disciples. They had heard Jesus tell them 3 different times that he would soon die, but that one of them would actually betray the Lord Jesus. And it saddened them all greatly. So they were all wondering, is it me? Is it me? Is it I? Is it, who is it? They're probably looking at each other. I think at that moment, you would look at everyone, huh? I think it's you. Look how Matthew says this. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised the third day. 3 times he kept telling them. And finally, the day came. And it's like, wow, he's going to be apprehended that evening and the next day crucified. That's how fast the 3.5 years went by for them. And so, although the other disciples were confused by the words of Jesus, Judas knew what he meant. That betrayer knew. He was already schemed up. And the Bible says, we're going to read it in a few minutes, the devil entered into him. Let me just say this. I'm going to say it as politely as I can. Look out for what you put your eyes upon. Would you allow your ears to hear how you operate outside of these 4 walls? Because if you lay your eyes on wicked things, man, a spirit may not get inside you, but it'll come upon you. And man, it'll cause devastation in your life. A spirit of lust, a spirit of hate, a spirit of resentment, all these things will come upon you. Why? Because that's how the enemy operates. Jesus said the devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus said, I came to give life and life more abundantly. And so apparently Judas was not the obvious betrayer. After all, he was just one of the disciples trusted to keep the money. He was the one that they all entrusted. He's the guy that took the collection plate. He was their treasurer. So obviously, he was trusted. Look at how John says this. John says, then one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who would betray him, said, why was this fragment of oil not sold? Remember, he was the guy that carried all the money. He was the one last week. Remember when we read about it regarding the alabaster box that was broken? This woman who saved up all her earnings broke it open for the Lord. And Judas was being the one covetous. Man, I could use that money somewhere else. This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief. John said he was a thief and had the money box, and he used to take it to put it where he wanted to put it. Wow. See, let me just say this. You cannot connive God. Can I get an amen? Be careful. You could easily say, praise the Lord. And people go home and live like the devil still. That's what Judas. This is where people get that, pastors and preachers, when they say things like I'm saying tonight, is because they see what took place here. Judas, he was one of the 12, trusted. And yet there was a devil living inside of him. Wow. So the disciples asked Jesus who the betrayer was. And you know, I'm not the one, am I? They were all saying, am I the one? Some of them couldn't even trust themselves. And each one asked in turn. Matthew records that even Judas asked this question. Even the one that had the devil living inside him said it. You know why he said it? To camouflage himself. Look. Then Judas, who was betraying him, answered and said, "Hey, Rabbi, is it I?" He said to him, Jesus said to him, "You've said it." Jesus said, "Yeah, you're right. You're the one." Now, we don't know if he said it loud for the others to hear, because I think if he would have said it loud, "Yeah, he's the one," I think they would have mobbed him. So let's move on to verse 21 in chapter 14. "The Son of Man indeed goes just as it is written of him, but woe to the man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for that man if he had never been born." Just imagine the torment he is receiving right now. Matter of fact, the Bible tells us that he went and hung himself. There's no mercy in that. He took his own life. And you know what that was? That was the demon tormenting his mind. Tormenting. My goodness. Jesus would be indeed betrayed and would indeed die, as he had already told his disciples. His death would not occur merely because of the betrayer, for the Son of Man had to die to complete God's plan and fulfill Scripture. This was prophesied, even in the Old Testament. So what we see being played out in the book of Mark, God already prophesied that this would take place. Look what God gave King David a song to sing regarding this prophetic event that would take place in the book of Mark, in the book of John, in the book of Matthew, in the book of Luke, the four Gospels. Look what it says here in Psalms. All who hate me whisper together against me that devise my hurt. An evil disease, they say, clings to him. And now that he lies down, he will rise up no more. Even my own familiar family in whom I'm trusted, who ate my bread, has lifted up his heel against me. My goodness. This is about Judas, who was part of the family, part of the 12. Raised up for 30 pieces of silver, which eventually he threw it back to the dogs. Look at this in verse 10. "But you, O Lord, be merciful to me and raise me up that I may repay them. By this I know that you are well pleased with me, because my enemy does not triumph over me." Can I get an amen? Amen. Yes, they crucified Jesus, but on the third day he what? Rose again. Hallelujah. The devil couldn't hold him down. How terrible it will be for the one who betrayed Jesus. Jesus knew, saints, that Judas was going to already betray him. And he also knew that Judas would not repent. Did you catch that? God knows the ones that will really repent and give eternal life. And then there are some that give their heart to Christ and forever are with him. But he knows the ones that are not his. This is why Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they know me." Aren't you so blessed to know that you didn't choose God, but God chose you? You weren't looking for him. Come on. None of us were looking for him. The Bible says in the book of Romans, there is none that seeks after God. No, not one. We've all gone astray. As soon as we're thrust out of our mother's womb, we're not looking for God. Some of us don't find God until maybe later on in life. For me, it was 30 years. I see people getting saved even in their older years. Yet God is merciful. We all know, but see, until God enables a person to come to him, they're not going nowhere. God has to quicken you. God has to enable you to come to him. Listen, how many of you have preached to people until you or them were blue in your face? And it's like, they're not moving nowhere. Well, I'm glad for you. You need it, God. You ever heard that one? I'm glad you found God. You need it, God. And so Luke wrote that Satan entered Judas Iscariot. I'm not just saying this to say this, because it's written down in the Word of God right up here. Look at this. Then Satan entered Judas, surname Iscariot, who was numbered among the 12. And when the devil came in, he was compelled and driven in darkness and evil to betray the Son of God. Wow. Satan sold him a bill of lies. This is what he did to Eve in the garden. This is why you and I still have a sinful nature. This is why we need a Savior. Why? Because from the garden till now, mankind fell into that lie, the lie of the devil. This is why Jesus had to come and save us. Can I get an amen? How many are so blessed to know that Jesus had to come despite of old Slewfoot? You see, Satan's part of the betrayal of Jesus does not remove any. I want you to hear this. It does not remove any of the responsibility from Judas. In God's sovereign will, and according to his timetable, God uses sinful men. But that doesn't excuse their sin. Did you catch that? That's why for you and I who are saved, we should no longer entangle in it no more. Can I get amen? We know better. We can't operate like an unbeliever, like a sinner. That's their MO. That's how they operate. God delivered us from that lifestyle. Can I get amen? So when we fall back in that, what are we saying to God? Are we rejecting God's grace and his mercy? One of the strongest, I'm going to say stronghold. Seriously, because you can't smell it. You can't hear it. But for people who are stuck in pornography, that is captivating. It'll destroy a person. Can I get an amen? And right now, that's the number one $1 billion industry in the United States. My brother, who is an investigator for the DA's office in Chula Vista here, we've had many talks, and he has shared with me the number one, which our news network, the fake news won't tell us, but the number one crime in California is sex trafficking. And all the tunnels that are dug down from Tijuana into here, they're not just smuggling drugs. They're smuggling people. And everywhere you go, you turn on the news, you turn on the TV, commercials, everything's about lust and sex. Help us, Jesus. Can I get amen? We need the power of God. We need another revival in this land. We need men and women to rise up in faith and proclaim that righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. But I truly believe the sign that we're seeing right now in this nation is because Jesus is about to return. So the devil got busy. He's getting busy in people's lives. He wants to take out as many as he can with him. So his choice is not excusable. Can I get an amen? All people will be held accountable for their choices and actions. Whatever Judas's thought was, Satan assumed that Jesus' death would end Jesus' mission and thwart God's plan. Ha, ha, ha. You thought wrong, you lying devil. Like Judas, Satan did not know that Jesus' death and resurrection were the most important part of God's plan all along. Aren't you so blessed? God didn't have to report to old Slewfoot, this is what I'm going to do. Look what Matthew says. But I say to you that for every idle word man may speak, they will give an account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Watch what you say to people. If you have an ought with someone, you better get it right. Because if Jesus comes and you have hate in your heart for somebody, you can't be around them, or you just talk about them. Man, don't be caught when he comes with that heart in that position. Can I get amen? Amen. God says we are to love one another. Even those who despitefully use us. But everything, God's going to hold an account. Wow. Be careful. Can I get an amen? Yeah. Amen. This is just the mailman delivering the mail tonight, because this mail is for me too. Can I get an amen? Amen? Let's go now to verse 22 in Matthew 14. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed, and broke it, and gave it to them, and said, take, eat, this is my body. Then he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. And he said to them, this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many. I want you to catch something. I want you to catch that last part of the scripture there. What does it say? This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for what? Did it say for all? Many are called, but few are what? It's the called out ones, washed in the blood, born again, true believers. That's who he shed his blood for. Can I get amen? And you got to pray for the unbelieving world. You got to pray for those who don't know God. Especially those who claim to know him. But the Bible says we're not to judge them. Can I get amen? But you know what God said? What would happen? We would know them by their fruit. What is the fruit of the Holy Spirit? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, meekness, kindness, gentleness, patience. So if that's operating, man, you're okay. That's how I know you love the brethren and how you love God. But man, if your heart's turned against someone, wah, 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 wah. And then you go tell people about what you think about them. You are entering into hell judgment. And man, I don't want to be there. Can I get amen? Be careful what you say. Be careful. It's better not to say nothing. If you don't have anything good to say about someone, say what? Nothing. And you know, here's the person you tell in your prayer closet. Tell God, this person, man, gets on my last nerve. Tell God that. There's nothing wrong with telling God that. He'll speak to you. He'll reprove your heart. He'll show you what's right and wrong. He'll point you to the scripture. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. And this is the greatest commandment. He'll bring you back to the scripture. I'd rather tell God, oh God, man, that person, man, is on my, man, Lord, Jesus, help me. And then I hear God saying, keep your mouth shut, boy.
Amen. Yes.
Don't speak to no one about them. There's nothing wrong taking it to God. But watch out what you say to others. Can I get an amen? You see, saints, the celebrations in the Christian church, such as communion, have a first sharing of what? Bread. And matter of fact, this Sunday morning, we're going to have communion. We always celebrate communion on the first Sunday of every month. But he said, this is my body, which is what? Broken for you. Now, they couldn't see that. Not just yet. He was hours away from being apprehended, and it was a illegal night court. They abducted him. Do you see, the Pharisees couldn't do this in the daytime because they had nothing to indict him with. So they came at night. It was an illegal court. That's the plan of old Slewfoot. And then Jesus said, this is my blood poured out for many. Now, many could be billions of people throughout time, especially these past 2,000 years. But it's not for all. Because there are some people, unfortunately, saints of God, there's some people that die in their sin. And they reject the grace of God. They don't want nothing to do with Jesus. And as soon as they close their eyes here on earth, they go right into torment. So what did Jesus mean by a new covenant? Well, in the Old Testament times, God had agreed to forgive people's sins if they would bring animals for the priest to sacrifice. When this sacrificial system was inaugurated, the agreement between God and human beings was sealed with the blood of the animals, but it was temporal. God told Moses this in Exodus, and Moses took the blood, sprinkled it on the people, and said, this is the blood of the covenant which the Lord has made with you according to all these words. So that was the old covenant. It worked for a while, but thank God for Jesus. Amen. Huh? How many are so thankful that Jesus came and became the new covenant? Thank you, God. But see, saints, animal blood did not itself remove sin. And animal sacrifices had to be repeated day by day and year after year. Jesus instituted a new covenant, a better one, or agreement. That's what that covenant means. It's an agreement between humans and God. The concept is key to all the New Testament theology and forms the basis for the name of the New Testament portion of the Bible. Praise God. And the Word of God was kept by God so that we can read it today. All the scrolls, how they discovered them throughout time, God did not allow his word to be destroyed so that we can enter into this new covenant by faith. Can I get amen? So the old covenant was a shadow of the new, pointing forward to the day when Jesus himself would be the final and ultimate sacrifice for sin. Rather than an unblemished lamb slain on the altar, the perfect lamb, who was the Lamb of God, was slain on the cross as a sinless sacrifice so that your sins, my sins, could be forgiven once and for all. Aren't you so blessed to know that? God has eradicated. Listen, for us that are born again, that truly have the Spirit of God living in us, he has sealed us. My goodness. In other words, no devil in hell, no human on this planet can remove the seal that God has placed upon you. We are his and forever his. Can I get amen? despite of our error of our ways. We're not going to live a perfect life in our humanity. It sins all day long, just the thought life alone. But when he washed us in the blood, he wrote our names in the book of life. Praise God. See, saints, those who receive Jesus' sacrifice and believe in him receive forgiveness. Praise God. Now, all people can come directly to God through faith because Jesus' death had made us acceptable in God's eyes. I say it like this. I'll say it again. I've said this many times. But now, you and I, when we are in our home, traveling abroad, in our car, in this place of worship, no matter where we're at, when God the Father looks down, guess what? He does not see no more. He doesn't see our sin no more. Guess what God the Father sees? The blood of Jesus that has covered ours. We have now an eternal covering. Can I get an amen? And when we get the new body, we won't need this body of flesh that fails us on a daily basis. It'll be done with, over with. We'll have a new body like his. How many can't wait for that new body? Hang on, Sister Deborah. Hang on, sister. Times are going to get better for us. You hang on. This blessed sister never saw life like we saw it. I know her testimony. She got saved when she was 8. She's been kept from the evils of this world. She is a blessing to be here. You know why? Because you don't need to have that radical testimony. God will save you wherever you're at and keep you, and he will preserve you.
Amen.
Can I get amen? Hallelujah. We serve a mighty God. So look how Romans says this regarding the cross. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We know that, right? Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation. What does that mean? That means his blood now had to come into this new covenant, where the old covenant couldn't save us. But now his blood is a propitiation. What? By his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance, meaning in his foreknowledge, his providence, his forbearance, God passed over the sins that were previously committed. My goodness. Look at that. To demonstrate at the present time, say that with me, present time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
We have faith in him. And we've been covered by the blood. And we've been sealed until the day of redemption. Praise God. You know, for the true born-again believer, man, that's happy news. That's great news. But I can't speak for those who are not truly born again. I can only tell them, cry out to God. Let's go to verse 25 in Mark 14. Assuredly, I say to you, I will no longer drink of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God. Listen, I really believe, saints of God, that this day that he's talking about right here is around the corner. It's around the corner. That's right, it is. Jesus assured his disciples of his victory over the imminent death and of a future in the kingdom of God. The next few hours, as we read this, during this time, during their time of having this supper together, during before the Passover feast, he was just hours away from his death. My goodness. Because it was apparent, it looked like it was apparent defeat, but soon they would experience the power, say that with me, the power of the Holy Spirit and witness the great spread of the gospel message. Because when he rose again, he defeated death, hell, and the grave forevermore. So now, I really believe that we are not too far away from this taking place right up here. Look at this. Then he said to me, John the Revelator wrote this in Revelation, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true sayings of God. Listen, when God takes the church home, he's going to put on a spread like no other. It's called the marriage supper of the Lamb. In other words, the church is the bride of Christ. And there in heaven, it'll be consummated. And then we're going to be celebrating the marriage supper of the Lamb. And guess who's going to serve us? Jesus. He's going to serve us. And then the Bible says that when judgment finally falls on this earth, we will come back with him. The Bible says in the book of Titus, 10,000 of his saints will be with him to execute judgment on this world. And we got a front row seat. My goodness. I really believe we're not far away from this moment. All I'm saying tonight, saints, hold on. Don't throw in the towel. Don't give up. Can I get amen? So during this time, when they were having the supper, did you know that Jesus loved to sing? Yeah, look at this. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. He sang with them. Come on. Jesus sung with his 12. But one of the things that was very prophetic, Jesus' Father, God the Father, knew already what songs that would be sung concerning his death. The hymn they sang was probably taken out of Psalms 116. Let's look at Psalms 116 here. Look at this. I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my supplications, because he has inclined my ear to me. Before I will call upon him as long as I live. The pains of death surrounded me, and the pains of Sheol laid hold of me. I found trouble and sorrow. The enemy wanted to destroy Jesus. But these were songs of deliverance. Can I get amen? Because nothing can hold down the Lord. Nothing could. Look at this. Remember when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane? And he said, Father, is there another way? And then he said, nevertheless, not my will, but what? Thy will. He was always in constant communication with his Father. Constant. Constant. So look what it says in verse 4 of Psalms. It says, then I called upon the name of the Lord. Oh, Lord, I implore you, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yes, our God is what? Merciful. The Lord preserves the simple. I was brought low and he saved me. Return to your rest, oh my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. This should encourage you, saints. I don't care what you're going through in life. God is still merciful. Can I get amen? God will deliver you out of your mess. Yes, he will. Why? Because he loves us. He died for us. And he will make sure that we will be kept in the perfect will of God. See, his will is perfect. Our life on this earth is not perfect. We strive for perfection, but we will never be perfect in this body of flesh. Can I get amen? But the Spirit of God lives within. And that is the evidence. That's the evidence. That should be the evidence in your soul that Jesus lives inside you. You hear his voice. You feel his presence. It's tangible. It's not just reading ink on pages. He becomes alive inside you. Can I get amen? Amen. Praise God. So, Saints, John included a lengthy discourse that Jesus had with his disciples before he and the 11 remaining disciples left the upper room and went out to the Mount of Olives, located just east of Jerusalem. How many remember the Mount of Olives when we went on the trip? Yeah. I can't wait to go back again. But guess what? We may all come back with him if he takes his home soon. Can I get amen? So look at this. Look how John put this. John put it like this. So when he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and glorify him immediately. Little children, I shall be with you a little while longer. You will seek me as I said to the Jews, where I am going, you cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give to you, that you what? Love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have what? A gripe for one another. An ought with one another. Hate for one another. Is that what it says? No. You will be known by the courts of heaven and by the angels and God the Father and the Son who is sitting on his right hand right now. You will be known by heaven if you have love for one another. But if you got an ought with someone, you better get it right. Or guess what? Get left. And this is not a political slogan. So leaving the room did not surprise the disciples, for they had not been staying in what? Jerusalem at night. He had left the city. I'm going to hurry up. We got about 5 more minutes. Are you getting something out of this study tonight? Amen. Praise God. Or am I just up here rumbling and babbling? This time, however, Jesus went out as far as the southwestern slope to an olive grove called Gethsemane, which also means oil press. That's what Gethsemane means. He went there to be crushed to prepare for his death. Look what it says here. And back in Mark 14, then Jesus said to them, "All of you will be made to stumble because of me this night, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. But after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee." Listen, they all thought, "Oh man, don't worry, Jesus. We got it. We got your back." And one by one, they left him as soon as he got apprehended. My goodness. This was the second time in the same evening that Jesus predicted to the disciples that they would deny him. He told them 3 times. Jesus told them, "You guys are going to desert me." And guess what Jesus told Peter? Because Peter was the rock. Peter was the one to bring the first sermon. Peter was the one that was, when he got filled with the Holy Ghost, he was bold. But let me just say this, saints of God, because this still happens today. When you truly want to live for God and you truly want to make your position in Christ to glorify him and magnify him, because there's nothing we can do to make us any more saved than we already are. You cannot do things to make you more saver, if that's a word. But one thing's certain, when you have a made up mind, and I know this straight on, I can testify all night that the devil will come and buffet you. Look at this. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. Jesus told Peter, Simon, the devil's asking for you. What? Be careful. Always be prayed up. Because God will allow old Slewfoot to test you. Look at this. But I have prayed for you. Praise God. Jesus said, I had prayed for you that your faith should not what? Fail. There are so many people that throw in the towel. They'll huff and puff and get and move on to somewhere else and take that same anger and that malice somewhere else. And then eventually they'll stir up in their heart because they never got it right the first time and go from there to another place. Look at this. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. See, God already saw. Jesus saw that they would run in fear after they apprehended him. After they beat him to a bloody pulp. They ran in fear. They go, uh-uh, I don't want none of that. But he said to him, Lord, look at Peter. Lord, I'm ready to go with you, both to prison and to death. Then he said, I tell you, Peter, the rooster shall not crow this day before you will deny me three times that you know me. What? Listen, it was prophesied that the shepherd would be struck. Jesus had to be struck. And so when he got struck, what did they all do? Scattered. Listen, I think one of my favorite pastors that I've had in my life was Pastor Leo Giovanetti at Mission Valley Christian Fellowship. Everyone loved that man. We had 3,000 people at this church. And me and Sister Yolanda, by God's grace, we got close to him. And we've been to his house, and, you know, we shared a lot of things and a lot of sushi dinners together. But you know what was so funny? People would call the church, is Pastor Leo going to be there Sunday? And if he wasn't going to be there, I remember because we were part of the ministry there. So Pastor Leo said, do not tell anyone whether I'm here or not. You know why? Because they would tell me, no, he's out of town. They wouldn't come. They go somewhere else. Well, it's no different. Because if the shepherd's out of the way, they'll just scatter. It's no different. Nothing's changed in 2,000 years. Nothing's changed. Look what it says in Zechariah. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, against the man who is my companion, says the Lord of hosts. Strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. Then I will turn my hand against the little ones. Wow. That's what happened to Jesus. He was struck, and they all scattered. But one of them was the betrayer that caused the scattering. So as a result, the sheep will be scattered. Without the shepherd on their own, the sheep would go through a period of great trial and be refined. They had to go through the fire now. This is why Jesus asked Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. He asked Peter three times, do you love me? Then feed my sheep. He asked him a third time, do you love me? And Peter said, where do I go? You had the words of life. Well, they were tested, weren't they? They were tested. Verse 29, and he said to them, even if all were made to stumble, yet I will not be. And Jesus said, assuredly I say to you that today, even this night before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times. Now, one would think, because we don't study Hebraic roots, and we're not called to be Jews. Can I get amen? We're Gentiles saved by grace through faith. Right? But if you did a Hebraic study on the Temple Mount, there was never any chickens or roosters. So what did he mean by the rooster crows twice? Who is the rooster? Well, as the sun was rising, the rooster was someone that would read the scriptures, the scrolls, before the sun came up. He was considered the rooster, proclaiming the new day as the sun came up. That's what, because there's no chickens or roosters on the Temple Mount. None. Nowhere you find them. And so when you do a Hebraic study, it was the scrolls being read. And so they would do it three times. That's a little tidbit for tonight. Yeah, everyone thinks it was a rooster. Or however they do. And he spoke more vehemently. If I have to die with you, I will not deny you. And they all said likewise. Yeah, right. Peter did not think it possible for him to actually deny any of the relationship with Jesus. Perhaps he was worried that he was the betrayer Jesus had mentioned during their meal. Not only Peter, but all the disciples declared that they would never deny Jesus. A few hours later, however, they all scattered. Let's pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord, this story is becoming more intriguing. Every Wednesday, we break down the scriptures. Lord, I love expository teaching because we go verse by verse. And we find scriptures to identify with a theme of what you're saying to us, God. Lord, I pray, Lord, that what was said tonight, Lord, that you would help us, encourage us, strengthen us. Allow us, God, to be more dedicated about our walk with you. That we would walk with integrity. That we would walk with honor, even in our sinfulness. That we would press through the junk to bring you glory, honor, and praise. Lord, thank you that you created each and every one of us to bring you praise, glory, and honor. That we can testify to the world, look what God has done for us. That we can leave this place knowing that we are chosen by you. And that you have given us eternal life. Lord, strengthen each and every one of us tonight. And those who are listening right now. Those who couldn't make it. We love the saints that come, that attend here. Bless them, God. Help them, God, in their walk with you. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that as the days in this culture grow darker, allow us to grow brighter. Allow our hearts to grow brighter with the power of God, the anointing of God, the grace of God, and the presence of God. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would supply all of our needs according to your riches and glory. Strengthen our marriages. Strengthen our relationships with one another. Help our children, our grandchildren. Help us on the job. Help us at home. Help us abroad. Keep your mighty hand upon us, God, in these last and evil days that we are in. We witness now, almost on a daily basis, the atrocities, the mass murders, over 60 million aborted, all these wicked things, the pornography, everything, the drug addiction, the gambling. All those things that turn hearts against you, God. Help us, Lord. Help us to be humble and always broken before you. That we wouldn't lift our souls to one another. That we can live in harmony. And that we could love one another despite of indifferences. That we could still agree to disagree, but still love one another. So, Father, we thank you for this evening. I pray, Lord, for those who have never given their heart to you, Lord, that only you can speak to them. Give them a mind to be saved, a heart to repent. And if God is moving upon your heart and you don't know where to go at this moment, then pray with us. It's not a mystical, magical prayer. Prayer is a tool that God has given to a sinful man here on earth to communicate with the holy God in heaven. So pray this simple prayer by faith. And cry out to him with a repentant heart. The Bible says you must repent. Turn from your evil ways and your wicked ways and turn to God. Come as you are. And he will do great and mighty things. He will blow you away. And you will see the mercy and the grace of God on your life. Pray this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me. And the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person. In Christ Jesus, from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, give him a shout of praise and glory in the house. Is he worthy?
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.